It's got a small black snout. I'm not talking about the chief economist now. Perky ears, a stripy back, and a big bushy tail. The numbat used to be widespread across southern Australia. These days, wild populations of this endangered species are limited to just two places in southwest WA. But it does look as though efforts to boost the numbat population are starting to work. Advances in baiting technology are helping to reduce feral cat numbers, and the Perth Zoo has a successful numbat breeding program in place. This week, five of those zoo-born numbats were released into the wild, as Claire Nichols reports.
Right, let's head onto the bush and let's hope we'll find the log at the other end.
Dr. Tony Friend is leading a group of about 20 adults and children deep into the Dryandra woodland. In his hand is a blue pillowcase, and inside that is a young female numbat called Lapa.
Oh, this is Dryandra woodland. It's a conservation area, but it's got a lot of special values, particularly the rare mammals that live here, and the numbat being the prime suspect, I suppose. And it was an area that was used for forestry. It was set aside for that purpose, but it just happened that partly because of the predominance of a poisonous plant here, that it was able to protect a range of mammals, and it's also big enough to do that.
Dr. Friend is using a GPS tracker to find the numbat's new home, a big hollow log in a secluded bit of bush.
Look at that. How about that, eh?
Lapa is one of five zoo-born numbats that are set to be released in the woodland tonight. Numbats are solitary animals, so we're visiting five different sites around the 28,000-hectare park.
There are less than 1,000 animals left on the planet, and that makes it rarer than giant pandas, for instance. But there are a lot of species in Australia that are down low in those low numbers. It's just that people don't know. And I guess that's one of the things that the numbat's been a great ambassador for threatened species in this area, because it's a nice-looking animal and people know about it, and they generally are pretty horrified when we tell them how few there are left.
Tony Friend is a principal research scientist with the WA Department of Parks and Wildlife. He picked these numbats up from Perth Zoo this morning. The zoo has the only numbat breeding program in the world.
This morning they had their usual meal of egg custard with termites, a few more termites because the, you know, getting used to finding their own food in the wild, and that will be termites. I picked them up from the zoo this morning. They'd been caught in their enclosures after breakfast by the zookeepers, who do a fantastic job. And so, what, five numbats, each individually bagged in pet packs.
See that? Oh, look at that. It looks good, doesn't it? Oh, yes. I think I want to go in there. No, do I? No, I'm not sure. So it's important that we get her to go inside.
Each of these numbats has been fitted with a tiny black radio collar to allow researchers like Tony Friend to track them as they get used to their new life in the wild.
So we can find the animals if we get in within about 300 to 500 metres of them. We can pick up that signal and go in and see how that numbat is. And they won't always be alive, I'll have to tell you that. But hopefully they are alive. We can see where they are and what log they've got into. If we want to, we can catch them, get them out of the log, check condition, health, weigh them, measure, and especially with the females, check the pouches to see if they've got babies.
If all goes to plan, the three female numbats released today should have young by early next year. It'll be another year before the two male numbats reach sexual maturity. But first, they need to survive.
They were pretty happy to go into those logs, which is always a good feeling, because you worry a bit about captive brown animals. They might have got a bit too used to people. But they're very careful at the zoo to make sure that the animals are kept wild. They're not handled more than they need to. So I was very happy with the way they ran off. And they didn't look too stressed, so that was even better.
And how will they go at surviving, foraging for food, all that sort of thing, after being raised when they have custard delivered to them in the morning in the zoo?
Yes, it's amazing. I think there's so much innate behaviour in these animals that they seem to just click straight on over into finding their own food. They've already started digging in their enclosures in the zoo, and so and they've been given broken up termite mounds, so they know about extracting termites from where they're living. It's finding food has never been a problem in our releases in Western Australia, so I think they've been, I guess the areas have been selected well, and so we know there is enough food to start with. So, yeah, the main problem they will encounter is predators. And most of the predators they'll encounter here are native predators. So we're talking birds of prey, carpet pythons, and the occasional chuditch.
Okay, goodbye, Lupa. Have lots of babies.
Goodbye, Lupa. Good luck, Lupa. Have lots of babies. That's Dr. Friend speaking to Claire Nichols at the Dryandra Woodland about 2 hours southeast of Perth. Ground-up termite mound. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 18 minutes to 7.